Well, welcome, guys. I'm doing one of my, I guess, biannual talks. I get to speak in front of the church once every 2 years or so. I don't know, something about the Johns being able to do that. John Hauser, John Olivas, and a couple others. So my name is John. I was over at the airport campus for quite a few years, so most of the time that it was up and running. And so today I'm going to take an opportunity to let you know who I am, because in truth, I'm very introverted when it comes to conversations. I like directing the conversations, and it's really hard to pull things out. And so I'm just going to just lay it all at your feet now. Misty forgot to mention that the stoning has moved to 12:30. We had to pull in some more rocks, and you'll kind of get the feel for that in a little bit. But yeah, I'm definitely starting it on a much lighter note, because today's talk is not going to be a very uplifting one. I'm calling it my war. And so the goal today is, like I said, share my testimony. So you'll get to hear another testimony at the beginning. And then you'll hear some about what like my current battles are, what our current battles are. And then, more importantly, kind of what's going on behind the scenes that gives me encouragement during those. And so, like I said, a lot of it, I don't know, it would be really hard to pull out, but I'll come back to that idea at the very end. My beginning battles. So I grew up in the Midwest in a big city. I have, like, it's my sister and I. It was like St. Louis, Missouri. I grew up there with, it was my mom, or my sister and myself, my mom and my dad for a very short period of time. And then my mom had 7 siblings, and we were a very, very strong Catholic family early on in my life. And then we kind of moved away from that. But yeah, that's kind of how I started, was like as a little kid. I am the oldest between me and my sister. One other disclaimer. I am sharing stuff like I can't get a hold of the 1,000 people I'm going to kind of bring up in kind of general in this kind of talk. So feel free to talk with me about anything you hear. Please don't go out and talk to the people that I may mention, because I probably didn't get their, actually I know they didn't get their permission. So don't hold it against them. Most of them have done the best they can. And, like, it's, given the circumstances, that was the best they could do. And so, anyway. So, yeah, I grew up in St. Louis at a very young age. I don't even think I was in kindergarten. And my parents separated. My mom had a movie store. I think most of you guys actually know what a movie store is. For those that don't, imagine a library, but you had VHS tapes. It's like Redbox on a much larger scale. So, like, she would drive out and, we would watch movies all the time. It's not a surprise. And I still love watching movies today, just because of that, I have a feeling. But, like, when we were young, like I said, my parents separated, and my mom, like, was trying to make the business work. And the separation wasn't necessarily a smooth separation. It was a long, drawn-out battle. It was 3 years before the divorce, I think, was official. And so, during that time, I grew up believing it was all my dad's fault, but I know now that it was definitely a mix between the two. And so my dad did the best he could, but given his upbringing, again, he didn't have anything to model it over. Like, his dad, I believe, passed away. Like, my grandmother had married multiple times. And so, again, he did the best he could, or that he, like, the examples that he had before him. So they separated. My dad ended up marrying the lawyer that did the divorce case. And so it kind of gives you a feel for where this could have gone, right? My mom got to keep the movie stores, which is good, because we also had lots of video games, which, don't tell my son this. We lived in the city, right outside the city proper. And it was something that my sister and I was like, well, this is what it is. It was becoming more normal back then. And so we kind of just had fun. I mean, we were young. And so that was good. But my mom had a friend move in. And it wasn't a male friend that moved in. It was a female friend that moved in. And for the longest time, I took it as being a female friend that was, like, there for us. It wasn't until, like, middle school that my mom and her partner separated, that her partner sat me down, my sister and I down, and said, hey, this is what this actually is. It was middle school, early middle school when that happened. And so you didn't see it tons on TV, but I was old enough, and I, like, and again, It's like I knew enough that's like, okay, I know what this means. It was definitely looked down on upon that time. It was not socially acceptable like it would be today. And so, like, I realized them telling me that, that was a big step in faith for them. And it also explained a lot. I don't know if good would be quite the best term. But I also want you to know, a lot of that, the advice I got in middle school was out of that kind of situation. I cringe back at some of the things I was told. I look back and, like, I don't know how I'm doing what I am now because of all the things I was told or that I saw. The joke for the longest time is watching my parents, both dad and mom, I have a whole bunch of examples of what not to do. I didn't have very many of what to do. So imagine some baggage me carrying around. I was like, okay, I have this kind of stuff going on now. And of course, it unfortunately didn't stop there. High school, my mom found a new partner. It was good. We went from living in the trailer. There's definitely trailer trash living next to us. They had like the mini dump yard kind of set up. And we were starting to move forward. Like my mom was recovering after the divorce. Once my mom's partner, her split, we moved into my grandfather's. My mom tried men out again and it didn't work. And so she ended up finding another partner that they had been with for quite a few years. We went from my grandfather's, like this is like high school at this point, to living from my grandfather's to an apartment, to a duplex, and finally to a home. So again, my mom and her partner, they were starting to kind of get their feet underneath them. My mom changed jobs. The movie store went under because back then, like in Missouri, there's a couple big factories that built cars, put together cars, and they were shut down. So a lot of people around us were working at those factories. So they're not going to go spend a whole bunch of money renting a movie when they're trying to figure out how to put food on their table. And so movies went away, sad. But my mom actually found a job she really liked. She worked with mentally and physically handicapped people. Her goal was to develop programs that help them survive in the world. Most of these people would never, ever make it past the centers they were in. They were excited if it was like a 1% increase in like whatever activity they were working on. And so, again, it's like she found something she was passionate about. She loved it. Like the job itself, it was hard. It was, the location, there's a lot of racial tensions there. And so I got to see, from my mom's perspective, obviously, just what was going on. And then knowing through high school, I had a lot of friends that were bused out from the inner city out to the school I was in. And so I got to see what was going on there. Like, tell you kind of the extremes, I saw some people take that opportunity and go really far with it. I also saw people come out, one of the guys in gym class is like, hey, look at this crack I have wrapped up in wax paper that he was going to go home and sell. And so I saw the extremes. And again, I know this is kind of a shock, but I want you to understand kind of where I'm coming from. I played soccer, and then I ended up playing football because I grew too much, and I wasn't, like, there was a lot of good soccer players. There wasn't many good football players in my high school. And so I could kick for the football team, and I could do a whole bunch of other stuff for the football team, so I had a better chance of playing. And so I played football, I wrestled, and I managed girls soccer, so I could still go play soccer. And I'd rather play against guys any day. Girls are mean. But in wrestling, it was funny, because the coach took me in and kind of like worked with me quite a bit. I wrestled in a group that was like the best in the state. Like my weight class was horrendous for St. Louis area, because it was like the state champ plus one that like did really well the year before. And then we had from the weight class below us had two guys move up. One was a state champ, another one that had fun. And then there's portal me in there. And so I did not learn winning from wrestling, but it was good because I persevered through it. And then I don't know how this ever happened. Like I said, early on we were a Catholic family. Then we became the Catholic family that goes every Christmas and Easter. We never went to church. And then in high school, I was part of the FCA, which when it first started was a whole bunch of music. So it had been like Blaze up here playing, singing songs, which was good. Like he would share the gospel every once in a while. But then another guy kind of took over and it's like, okay, we're going to change it up. We're going to have like actual Bible discussions. somehow I was the one leading that Bible discussion. In hindsight, I'm like, I don't know why. He obviously did not know me that well. But it was looking at, like, here's some scripture, let's talk about it. That I can do. I think anyone could do that if you actually sit down. Again, maybe not the best choice, but it worked. At least it seemed like it. But yeah, so I survived high school finally. And then something I haven't said was I struggle with depression quite a bit of it. It runs in both sides of my family. And so it was hard for me to escape it. And so, I don't know. It's like I did a summer program between my junior and senior year, and I realized even going from like St. Louis down to Springfield was not far enough. I needed a run from my family because it was. I figured out that was what was pulling me down. And so I went to Colorado for school. It was like I had originally been interested in engineering, and like right before I started, I realized, man, that's probably not going to be the best. It's not what I want to do. Of course, everyone can use business, so I'll do business. Again, not the best choice for me. And so I went to Colorado State, which is where Dove went to school. And actually, Dove lived on my floor. I think he was down the hall from me. There's another guy, Aaron Ritter, who's a pastor up in Fort Collins. He was on my floor. Like, a whole bunch of people that were part of the Rock, the college group up there, when they were starting the Rock, were on my floor. The funny thing is, most of them were invited to an event where it was playing volleyball. I love volleyball. I went and played volleyball every night. I did not go to that. I don't remember hearing about that. And so all these guys from the floor went one way, and I went the opposite. Instead of joining the church, which would have been a cool story in itself, I went the other route where I joined the fraternity. And so I drank a lot. I partied a lot. And yeah, I don't know. I actually had some really good friends out of it. I did definitely learn about brotherhood there. There's definitely the drinking and the partying, but there's a lot of the stuff behind the scenes that isn't glamorized or made fun of in movies that I appreciate. I definitely had some solid friends in those situations, and a lot of them saw my situations like, hey, how can I help? And so it was neat seeing how God worked even before me coming to know him. And so, yeah, like I said, Dove and Aaron went that way. I went that way. Our fraternity partied so much we got kicked off the campus. Yeah, it was sad because that was like, okay, my friendships now are kind of like spread all over the place. When we laugh about there being so many Johns, there were so many Johns in this group of friends that I was the 7th in age rank. And so I was called Alex for years, just because one of them's like, we need to call you something else. Please, can we call you something else? And so I even got the whole new identity of being called Alex P. Malinsky for a couple years. And so that was the feel. Like, I had turned 21, so we were able to go out to the bars. My friends were worried how much I drank. My friends were like, are you going to do like your 21 shots and drive home sober, right? I was known for drinking that much. Of course, they hadn't realized I had stopped drinking so much and started working two jobs. And so it was not the case. I was definitely gone on my 21st birthday. But we had our bar, and where it's like cheers. Everyone knew your name. I'd walk in, they'd hand me my drink. I'd ask them to put some more Sprite in because it was my first drink. It was where we felt at home. And it's like where we went every week. It was like going to church. And there's quite a few country songs now that pretty much state that same kind of feel. And I kind of laugh at it, but at the same time, we all want that fellowship. And I realized over the years that I was definitely a people pleaser. And because I wanted that love for my family. I wanted that love for my dad, my mom, my grandfather, and all that. Again, they tried, but I knew there was something missing. So I'm going down this path. And like I said, engineering was a no-go. Business was definitely not a go. And so I took a little bit of time off and then came back to CSU for microbiology or biochemistry, except that I could take 6 credits or I could do a dual major and do microbiology on top of it to fill up my time requirements. Oh, important thing that I forgot to mention. One of my first memories, like when I was really young, was asking my mom, when do I get to go to school? For those that know me, that thought is still running strongly through my body. I've always been like, I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to learn. And so anyway, going back, so I did the dual major, hence the kind of random thought. And I got involved in a microbiology lab. So I did a lot of research and all that. And one of the girls in the lab was going to the rock. And so my path started, what I thought was going like this, it was more of a parallel path. And my friend helped me come, like, kind of jump over to the correct path. One summer we went to the Great Sand Dunes. So imagine white sands, but normal sand and much, much higher. It's in the middle of, like, southern Colorado. It's beautiful, tons and tons of mosquitoes. But I got to sit around a campfire and listen to people talk about their stories. Maybe not as long as you guys have to listen to me, but it was definitely people sharing hard stories, hard things in their life that it's like, hey, this is why I'm here. And it was Jesus working in their lives. And so that made me start thinking. And so I started attending a small group, and it was neat because, I don't know, it was just seeing a whole bunch of people. And my friend invited me to church. So I went, and she's like, hey, don't worry if you don't know anyone. I'll introduce you to people. I walked in, and it was kind of a weird first one because it was like a back-to-school, like a pre-back-to-school thing for The Rock. And so I got to listen how, like, if you don't know someone, you need to go up and meet them. You need to love on them. You need to do this and this and this if you don't know them. I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to be that one new person everyone's going to flock to. But, like, after the lights went up, I realized, I already know them. Like, by the time we were done, my friend's like, I think you know more people here than I do. It was neat. God had been working the way it's like a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. These little seeds that are being planted. It's like, and a lot of those people, like, I know they're different than what I would have said my normal friends would have been. And so that was good. And like the Bible study was good. My 23rd birthday came and my friends were like, hey, let's go out. This would be the non-church going friends, obviously. Let's go out. Let's celebrate. And so I went out with them. And of course, being an unsaved person, like, they're like, here's a shot. That night, I saw so many, like, heartbreaks and, like, just mistakes from my past. It was killing me. The next few days, was part of it was hangover, but part of it was just, like, thinking through all the things, all the mistakes. It was a mix of, hey, this is great seeing this person. It's like, why did you move on? And it's like, hey, I really didn't want to see you. And there's some people, I was like, I just wanted to get in a fight with them. I was just so angry with them. So all these mix of emotions. And like I said, the few days afterwards, I'm sitting there going, I hate my life. It was just kind of like, I don't get it. So we've all heard the story, like the phrase, like fish in a barrel, right? And then 6 feet under. So I combined it. And I was like at that point, I felt like I was not on the bottom of the barrel. I was 6 feet under it. And so that was, my birthday was like the one, like, it ended up being like a Friday, Saturday. It was like on the weekend. And my friend Aaron, even prior to actually talking to me during small group, was like, hey, let's sit down on Friday and like have some burgers. I want to share something with you. It's like, okay, and I can eat. I can always eat. And so I sat down. And at that moment, like, again, in God's good graces, he shared the gospel with me. Like, occasionally we'll put something up on the screen about sharing, having the bridge diagram. I forget what it's called now. But it's like a long presentation of the gospel. He sat down and shared that with me. It's like all the parts. It's like, I know this. And he just put it all together. And so I prayed the sinner's prayer. Like, I started, like, I can believe this. And the following weekend, I'd already been planning on going, but it was the Rock Retreat. And so Mark Darling was speaking. It was a lot about just giving our lives over to the Lord. I remember one of the nights just going out. There's a little lake. This is up in Winter Park. Going out to the lake and just bawling. To give you a feel for me and crying, when my grandfather passed away, I shed like one tear. I am not a crier. But I was out like frozen tears because it was cold. And it was just kind of like, it's like, okay, God, I give up. It's like, there's nothing I have that's not yours at this point. And so it was funny because I went in for another session and they're like, so like, if you haven't been baptized, you should get baptized. I was like, okay, God, that took a whole 10 seconds before you're calling me out on this. And so I did it. And so one of the things I like is like with pictures like this, you guys probably don't know where that is, but you can't really tell what's a sunset and what's a sunrise. From if you don't know the location, it looks the same. And so I like this idea because it's like at some point my life was dying. It was like I was ready to be done with it. But on the flip side, God's like, I am not done with you. I'm going to start. And that's when the sun rose. And so, you know, this is actually a sunrise picture. Don't tell Steve or Doug this, but I like country music, obviously. Sorry, Blaze. But there's a song by Tim McGraw that talks about, like, pretty much killing yourself. And it's talking about he's walking around his living room, and he's like, who's this person sitting in this chair? And the idea is, like, it's his old self sitting there. And he's just like, I'm moving past that. I'm moving on. And that was at that point. I was like, when my friends sat and shared the gospel with me, but also that moment of me sitting in the outside by the lake, to me, that's my salvation moment. It's like, that's when I'm like, okay, God, here it all is. I made a choice then. And then that was the light started getting brighter. It was kind of neat because I was part of a small group, which they were a lot younger than me, which changed. Because we went to Faith Walkers, we listened to this international student ministry kind of talk. It was like being me and Aaron and a few others. And so Aaron, I thought it was neat because I wanted to go abroad. It really worked on Aaron, though, in the sense that he prayed about it. And we actually started doing an international student ministry up in Fort Collins. And so it was kind of neat because I got to be part of that. I got to do all these fun things. Unfortunately, the reprieve was short. And so, kind of that honeymoon phase kind of went, came and went. And then as I started serving God, there's a lot of things that's I needed to deal with. I still need to deal with. And so I'm going to give a couple quick examples. Again, this is where the stoning portion comes in. Because, again, at this point, I'm a Christian. I was a Christian during all these, stupid things. As I've learned, it's like we're in the middle of battle. And so there's times when we put our guard down, and that's when, bad things happen. And so I'm going to give a couple kind of small, little, kind of cheesy things, but then one serious thing. And I'll actually start with the serious just because I want to be done with it, truthfully. I've thought through how to share this a million different ways and a million and one ways of, no. But there is no easy way, so I'm just going to get to it. We had a young lady, which most of you guys don't know, live with us. And one day she had a low-cut shirt on, and I was just tired. And I don't know, the way she was sitting, the way my view was, I was sitting there staring down their dress, or her shirt. It's like, I just remember at the moment going, this is stupid, why are you doing this? And so we went our separate ways. She ended up talking to Misty about it, and because she was upset about it, which, fair enough, because she caught me doing it. And so Misty said, go talk to him. And so she brought it up, and I apologized. And I said, sorry, hey, it wasn't right. There's no excuse for it. And I don't know. It was hard. Even prior to her coming up, it's like, okay, this is just stupid. I knew it was stupid. I apologized and I asked her for help. I was like, hey, help me in these kind of situations. It's like, be mindful of what you're doing or what you're wearing when you're around me. It's just kind of like I'm not perfect. And I know when I need help. Me asking for that help is another question, which we'll come back to. But it was rough. And as I've thought, and it's impacted me since then. This is 4 years ago, 5 years ago? I don't know. It's been a long time. And I still go back to it every once in a while. But I wanted to add, as I've thought about it, I realized, I think the biggest thing was just the breaking of trust. And I think that's, to me, that would probably have been the harder part. So there's the big bad one. Some other little things, I've noticed lately, it's like, with that in mind, they always say there's a lack of women in STEM. That works for engineering and math. In biology, it's kind of the opposite. In microbiology, I had a class of 70 people, and there was 5 guys in there. They all wanted to be nurses, vets, or doctors. All the women did. And so same thing now. There's a lot of women in the biology department because they all want to be nurses, doctors. I haven't met so many vets down here. But it's where I am. And so, like, there's times now it's like a friend of mine just graduated, and it's like I debated for 5 minutes on what card to give. And it's like it's something simple as, oh, congrats, and then left it at that. The other one was like pretty much congrats. I hope you have a beautiful life. And like the last one is like, I do hope she has a beautiful life. But it's like, oh, what's she gonna say? What is she gonna, like, what would she think about this? And like the rabbit trail they would go down, it's like, this is stupid. This is a battle that, like, it shouldn't happen. Because we're called to love people. And I think the one with the beautiful life probably would have blessed her more. It would have been more personal. Like, she even said, thanks for being a good Christian witness in a place that's very anti-Christian. Again, she was a biology student. And so it was like one of those, like it's small, like most of the time, I would probably not have thought so much about it, but as I'm preparing for this, I've thought about it more. And so I started, like, not even double-guessing, like, triple, quadruple-guessing myself. And so these kind of, like, extremes, something big, something small, and obviously I have a million other things in between, but I'm going to go through. Unfortunately, oh, that doesn't show up very well. Oh, maybe. Sorry for those in the back. But there's like three major themes we've heard time and time again, right? There's battling our flesh. In Galatians 5, 16 through 17, it says, but I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not carry out these desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires that are opposed to the Spirit, and the Spirit has desires that are opposed to the flesh. For these are opposition to each other, so that you cannot do what you want to do. Again, the simple thing of, like, which car do I buy? And like, what? I'm worried about, like, just, am I going to look okay in front of this person? What's she going to think? Instead of just loving on her. And then the same thing with the other situation. It's, like, I had no idea why. It was just, like, my stupid flesh getting in the way. And again, it hurt. It hurt her. But then there's also battling of the world. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it's talking about being around, surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Again, as I was thinking through this message, I realize it's like, I think in general they're talking about like sitting in front of a whole bunch of people, just like believers. Like when I think of it, it was always like, hey, come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But as I'm realizing, we're actually surrounded by tons of people who aren't believers, and they're like, I want to see you fail, I want to see you fail. And then as I read like further on, it was him who endured such opposition against himself by sinners, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and give up. And so, and again, it's like Jesus like knew what he was going to go against, and he fought against that. He had to battle the world for our sake. The other thing I've come to realize is the parable of the weeds. In short, it's talking about a farmer who went out and sowed good seed, and then the enemy came and dumped a whole bunch of weed or seeds of weeds in the mix. And when they're little tiny things, you can't tell the difference. And so as I look at the U.S. and just like all the Christians out there, it's like I wonder, it's like how many of these are Christians because they're just in America? They don't necessarily believe in Christ. They don't believe in the salvation, like their salvation. They're just like, this is the way we are. We're just Americans. We are by default Christians. Again, that thought I think is changing in our culture quite a bit, which I'm almost kind of happy about, because it's easier to say, this is who this person is, and this is who this person is. I don't want to be able to go, are you weed or are you a, like, wheat? And so, like, again, in these battles, like, if we're watering the plants, like, some people will take that and, like, it will grow from it. Like, with the story of the young girl, like, in my story, like, some will take it and be like, okay, I can learn from that. I see where he's going. I see he's changed. But I can also see people taking that and running with it in a very negative way. And, like, it's this, I don't know, we could do stuff in love, but the world's going to see it and be like, no, that's not love. That's not what we're calling love anymore. Again, it's like saying truth is not a good idea in general in the world. Because if you speak up for something that you believe, if it's not the common trend, you're going to get ridiculed. I remember seeing someone parents and non-believers were giving him a hard time because he was calling for young girls to dress more modestly. It was in a song. And parents were getting like, how can you tell my daughter she has to do that? It's, I don't know. I hope someone tells my young daughter to do that. I hope someone tells my young sons, like, hey, this is how you grow up to be a Christian man. I want truth spoken in. I don't want, knowing my young kids, I don't want them going up doing what they want to do all the time. Because I know it's not going to be good for them. That was what was shared. That was like the big thing I learned growing up. It's like, oh, do whatever you want. It'll be okay. One of the things I was told is like, hey, if you're going to go pregnant, we'll help with the first abortion. That was in middle school I was told that. And again, I don't think you guys would like take that stance, but that's what the world is saying, and that's what our kids are going to be hearing. And it's not a good thing. So again, that mix of weeds in the mix, it's like, how can you tell the difference? And I think to me, it's going to be where they take it, what the fruit is going to eventually be. And sometimes, unfortunately, we are not going to know for years. Then the last kind of battling is the dark unseen forces. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness. The idea is like there's a lot of things that we don't see that we have to battle. And so taking the young girl's kind of story, it's like it does. It like the devil will take that and like bug me about it again and again and again. Which part of me is actually thankful for, because I've changed, I've learned, I've moved on from it, but he's still trying to find little kinks in that armor so he can use it to try to pull me down instead of having me move forward. So the good news, there is hope, right? So I have hope. So I originally put my hope, but then I realized it's not my hope, it's our hope. And so the first one is remembering what God's already done. I am grateful to those who have strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has considered me faithful in putting me into ministry, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and persecutor. I love Paul and I love David, because I don't know of too many people that can be really worse than them. But yet, David's a man after God's own heart. Paul did amazing things in his ministry. It took him a while before people started believing him. But yet, most of what we read and quote is from Paul. And so, and again, with David, you know, his wonderful mistakes, and yet God still used him to do mighty things. And then from Colossians, therefore, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and firm in your faith, just as you were taught. Yeah, I love, this one was long. I was going to read it, but like I said, I'll go to the best part. Nevertheless, made you alive with him, having forgiven all your transgressions. He has destroyed what was against us, a certificate of indebtedness expressed in the decree opposed to us. He has taken it away by nailing it to the cross and disarming the rulers and authorities. He has made a public disgrace of them, triumphing over them by a cross. Again, people can take my life, my story, and nitpick at it. And there'd be tons of things that we could just fill the web with. But Christ took all that. Like, they'll want to destroy, but others will look at it and be like, he's growing, he's changing, he's working at it. Not a very gospel-centered show, but once upon a time, they've talked about in the last couple, like, we've been watching it. One of the themes lately is the evil queen is now, like, one of the heroes. And the idea is, like, she was once the evil queen, but now she's changing. She's becoming that hero. She's learned her stuff in the past, and she's seen the light and moving forward. And that's, I don't know, there's some truth in that. There's baggage we all carry into our marriage with Christ. And just like our normal marriage, we have those baggages. We have to slowly, like, release that. And so I don't know why I would never think it would have been the same with Christ. There's things I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this. I'm done with that. And move on. Quick comment. Victory is assured. I was going to read part of Revelation. I'll summarize it. Someday there's going to be a new heaven. There's going to be a new earth. All this old stuff's going to go away. All the death and the tears and all that are just going to be thrown out. And we're going to be standing before God saying, this is what it was meant to be. As I've been getting into practical things like reading and praying and all that, it's like in those quiet times, I've been realizing it's like I should not be happy with my life now. I am like in reading Hebrews, a lot of them saw what was going on in the world and said, I don't belong here. And I like all the different tensions, like it's just like there's something broken here. And it's like it's a hope for me that's like, hey, this will all be remedied later on. But that hope comes from like my quiet times, the small groups, the discussion there. Like reading through the parables with my small group was good, because that's when we got to start talking about the weeds. That's when we started talking about the mustard plant and the birds. Even though the mustard plant grew big, the birds that were sitting there picking up all the seeds that would fall. And so it was fun talking to that. And it doesn't happen unless you're part of like small groups. Coming here, you hear a lot of things. You hear stories. You hear what God's doing in different parts, in different lives. Another one which I need to get back into is memorization, because it's a double-edged sword. It's something that in those battles I need to be able to fight. And if I don't have a sharp sword, it's going to be just whacking away at things, the same old things over and over again. Whereas with a sharp sword, I just cut off that baggage. I can move on and grow. The other part is like prayer. I like the idea of like we can talk to God. That's unusual. It's a weird thought for many religions. It's like being able to talk to the person who created the universe. That's a special thing. I know, like growing up, a lot of it was like, God, I want this. God, I want that. But it's beautiful when you can start sitting there having a dialogue. You can praise God. You can thank Him for things. You can cry out to God. And you can just even yell at God. Like, He created me. He knows what's going on in my life. And by just sitting there yelling at God, saying, how could this happen? Like, God's going to come up and say, I'm with you. I'm there. One of the songs Blaze was playing earlier, it's just like, I got you. And so, yeah. So, I don't know. Like, always when I think of rejoice, I'm like, yay. But it's like, just like knowing that God's working, like even in those dark times, that to me that's rejoicing. Knowing I can see the bigger picture. And then the last one, last side in general, is get dirty. One of the proverbs that stuck out to me a lot, like we read a proverb a day. So like on the 14th, we read the 14th proverb. It says, 14:4 says, where there are no oxen, the feeding trough is clean, but an abundant harvest is produced by strong oxen. Okay, so if you have no oxen, it's easy to keep stuff clean. Strong oxen means they eat a lot, which means they poop a lot, and like all the other stuff. And then they're also in the fields. They're bringing all that in. And so it's a messy, messy barn. And so the idea of like, I don't want my family to be isolated. I don't want us to be just kind of clean. I want us to be clean in the sense of, yes, we'll go to heaven someday. But I want us on those front lines. I want us out in the fields working. And so like part of that is I need to know myself. I need to be like, okay, here's my struggles. Here's my passions. Here's what I'm good at. This is not what I'm good at. And I need to realize, here's the bags I need to get rid of. And these are the things I need to work on. So really getting in deep and realizing, hey, yes, I have been hurt by my family. Yes, I have hurt others. And how can I keep that from happening? Or how can I heal in that? Part of that also is, if I've been hurt by others, by nature, we kind of want to isolate ourselves. But being believers, we're called to love one another. And it's really hard to do when you've isolated yourself. Unfortunately, we're going to probably hurt one another more than we would ever willingly choose to do. But it's trusting one another enough to go and share. So again, like I said, one of the things I want to work on and need to work on is being transparent more. So I got to just jump into the deep end today and kind of share my story. It's like, again, I don't know what you guys are going to do after this. In some sense, it's like I can't control that. But I can control my reaction to that. If you guys all never talk to me again, like, okay, God, I stepped out in faith. That's what it is. And I don't think that's going to be the case. I know this, the amount of love in this room, and like knowing that there is that love, how can we double guess what, like, oh, they didn't say hi to me, or they said hi to me. How can that really just affect? It's like, hey, I know they're busy. I know they're hurting. I know they're working on things. And it's just that trust. And then the last one is be in the world, but not of the world. Again, like I look out and like, I cringe at the world because I see the path it's taking. And it's there's a lot of good things. I mean, we were all made in God's image. And so there is a lot of good things out there. But how they're approaching it, how they're doing it, it's like, it's just, it could be a slow downward spiral, or in some cases, this is like jumping off a cliff. But yeah, at the same time, we're called to be a light in that situation. We're called to be helpful and help people grow, help lead them to Christ. And so there is a lot of things that I need to work on. And I'm assuming, hopefully, some of you guys would agree with it, that it's like we need to not just isolate ourselves, be cozy in the nice air-conditioned church building, but be out finding those that are hurting, finding those that just need the love of Christ. Like someone sat down with me one day a long time ago, I want to be used by God in that sense too. I want to be like, hey, he didn't even realize what was going on in my life. I just want to share this with you. I want to be that person too. I want to go out and be used. And I know I still have a lot of baggage to get rid of, but I don't know. I my prayer is God will use me anyway. And so I'm going to close in prayer and let Blaze come up. I think he has a couple minutes yet. Father, I just thank you for today. And thank you. I thank you that you do work in our lives. Father, it's not that you want us to be perfect before we come before you. And it's not that we're going to be perfect even after the fact. We'll still make mistakes. We'll still fall short of your son. But Father, it's one of those, you're helping us grow. You're helping us transform into that beautiful picture of love. So Father, help us all just to go forward and just love a little bit more this week. Seek your path and just be transformed by you. And so, Father, thank you for just giving me this opportunity, and thank you that, Father, that you love us all. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.